This is Solve It for Kids.
Hello, my amazing and inquisitive and oh-so-curious friends. My name is Jeb Lee, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek into the real world of scientists, engineers, astronauts, aquanauts, and other experts as they solve problems in their jobs using curiosity, creativity, cooperation, and critical thinking. Right now, please welcome to the show my partner in exploration, the Admiral of Adventure, the Dean of all things STEM and STEAM, Jennifer Swanson.
Hello, Jed. How are you?
I am amazing. I just love getting together for another episode of Solve It for Kids.
Oh, me too. And this one is for the people out there that love bugs.
Ooh, bugs. I can't imagine what question we're going to be answering today.
Well, spin the wheel. Let's find out.
Here we go.
Why would you want to follow a colony of army ants?
Why would you want to follow a colony of army ants? I have no idea.
Well, I don't either, but we have an amazing guest today who's going to tell us all about it and who has actually done that. Please welcome to the show Doug Weschler. He is a biologist and a children's author. Cool. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Jed. It's great to be here.
We are excited to have you. So, army ants, I mean, wow. I guess my first question is how did you get into studying army ants? That seems really cool.
Well, it started a long time ago. When I was in college, my professor had been studying army ants and especially the birds that follow army ants. He had been studying those for decades. And he took five of us down to Panama and we helped him finish off his 10-year study of the birds that follow army ants on this island in Panama.
Wow.
And that's where I got my start a long time ago.
I'm not sure, but I was down in Panama a couple of years ago with my beautiful wife, and we're in the rainforest, and we're up above in the canopy, and we looked down, and we saw something I'd never seen before, but we saw this column of ants carrying all sorts of things, and from where we were, they looked gigantic, and the things they were carrying looked gigantic. Do you think those were army ants?
No, those were leafcutter ants.
And okay.
The leafcutter ants are, it's almost like they're neighbors of the army ants. And it's interesting because the army ants kill all sorts of other ants, but the army ants and the leafcutter ants have sort of a truce. And when they get together, sometimes they'll skirmish a little bit, but even though each colony has hundreds of thousands or more members in it, they don't get into wars.
Wow. Okay. So how, like, can you give us an idea how big are these ants? So,
okay.
Imagine, get kids to imagine what in their head, what it looks, they look like.
So the army ants I'm talking about are one particular kind of army ant. There are about 150 kinds of army ants in the New World. And the one that most people know about is the one that raids in these huge swarms above on these ground. So that ant doesn't have its own common name. It's called Eciton burchellii.
Ooh.
Anyhow, the ants are, the small ones are 3 millimeters long, which is, about the size of a little bit smaller than a grain of rice.
Oh, wow.
And the big ones are half an inch long, 13 millimeters. And the queen is about an inch or so long.
And so you're saying like hundreds of thousands of these kind of march along or swarm together or whatever?
A typical colony is about 300,000 to 700,000 ants.
Oh, my gosh.
And they don't build a nest. They have a cluster. They form a cluster inside a hollow log or some other shelter. So it's just a big ball of ants. It's not round. It's shape-shifting. But the whole colony is inside this cluster of ants called a bivouac. And so the bivouac is their home. And they move every night for 2 weeks. And then for 3 weeks, they go into a hollow tree and stay there. But every day they go out and raid and feed. So these raids, if you're at the front of a raid, imagine you take a school bus, an invisible school bus into the forest, and you draw a line around the edge of the school bus. So it's about 40 feet long and 8 feet wide or whatever. And you throw up, take 30 cereal bowls of rice and throw it up in the air, and they land on the ground and scatter around in that school bus area. That's what the colony would look like when it's feeding, when it's raiding out in the forest.
Oh, my God.
There are maybe up to 300,000 ants on the ground searching for other insects and small arthropods.
Wow, it's terrifying. When
you yes.
It sounds terrifying, but this is the cool part, and I brought my wife out into the forest one day in Peru, and we found a colony of army ants, and we're standing in front of it. They're coming towards us, and I told her, "Don't worry, just hold still.
No.
Just hold still, and you'll be fine." So we're wearing rubber boots, and we hold still. The colony comes, and they come right up past to us. They climb a couple inches up our boot. But they don't climb any farther because we're holding still. And so if you know what you're doing, you can stay pretty safe from the army ants.
I would not do that. Would you hold still, Jed?
Feet, they'll crawl up your legs.
I would
sting you.
I would try, but I don't think I'd be able to. I guess that's the next question. Are army ants dangerous to humans?
Not normally. It's possible that somebody could be allergic to their stings.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, if you left a little baby out in the forest without where he couldn't get away, that would be very bad. But typical person will stay away from the ants, and
yeah.
If you get stuck in the ants, you'll get stung a few times. It's not as bad as a bee sting, but it hurts. And every day that I go out studying the ants, I get stung by the ants at least a couple times. But
does it hurt or itch or?
It hurts, and I say something bad, and then I go about my business.
So,
it doesn't hurt for very long.
So I guess I'm wondering why. So what is the purpose of following them? Right.
Okay.
So are you studying the ants, or are you studying the birds that come with the ants?
Well, in my case, I've done both. The ants move every night for 2 weeks, and in order to keep track of them, you have to follow them sometime around between 5 in the evening or at night and follow their column, the string of ants that leads to a new home, a new bivouac. And then for 3 weeks, they'll stay in one place. So in order to learn about them, to follow them, you have to figure out where they're going the next day and be ready to find them again. So the reason to follow them is just so you can learn more about them. It's fascinating because they're a keystone species. A keystone species is one that where if the keystone species disappears, many of the other animals that depend on it will also disappear.
Mm-hmm.
It's an animal that has kind of an oversized role in the ecosystem.
Hmm.
So many animals depend on it. And with these ants, I follow them to, in part to photograph them, to tell their story, but to learn about the birds that follow them and the butterflies and mites and beetles and flies.
Oh, wow.
There's an incredible community of animals that live with these army ants.
Do they eat them? Are they food for these other animals? Or
Well, no. Most of them, well, some of them eat the larvae, but most of them are freeloaders. They're taking advantage of the ants or sometimes parasitizing or living off the ants in some way. Oh. So the birds, the ant birds and wood creepers that spend most of their time with the ants hang out right over the ants, and they'll snatch up any cockroach or cricket or whatever that escaped from the ants, but they won't eat the ants. In fact, there are very few things that eat the ants. There's a tiny little beetle that I once saw dragging an ant away from the column. They regularly eat ants, but for the most part, nothing eats the adults. There are some things that live in inside the colony that will eat the larvae, beetles and the like. Wow. But they get along with the ants by fooling them. They kind of like a wolf in sheep's clothing. They either look like the ants and kind of move like the ants, or several different kinds of animals have a kind of teardrop shape, and they're very slick, and so the ants can't really grab onto them. So they run along with the ants, and they're easiest to see at night when they're changing from one bivouac to the next.
Hmm. How bummed out would a cockroach have to be escaping an attack by 300,000 ants, and it gets away, and it gets up on a log going, "Whew, that was close, I'm safe," and then a bird comes along and eats the cockroach.
It's a tough job for cockroaches in the forest.
That's a bad day. That's just a bad day.
Right.
Man, oh man, oh man. What's the most fascinating thing or the most surprising thing you've learned by following colonies of army ants?
Well, I'm just always amazed at the roles of all these different creatures that are following them. The fact, for example, there are these tiny little flies. The first time I saw one, it was 1 millimeter long. And I was out at night, and the ants had mostly gone by, but there were these little tiny things going down the ant column. They were obviously following the scent of the army ants, moving to the next bivouac. And they were only 1 millimeter long, and I had no idea what kind of animal they were because they didn't have wings. And later on, I figured out that they must be these tiny little forehead flies. And so that was just one of so many different animals that are living with the ants that amazed me. Then there are the butterflies. In Costa Rica, where I spent 3 weeks this past year, there are three different kinds of orange butterflies that follow the army ants. You see them flying back and forth over the swarm, and they're looking for bird droppings. Huh. And when they see a white thing, they'll land on it and taste it with their feet. With their feet. They taste with their feet. And
wow.
Then if it's a bird dropping, they'll stick their long, uncurl their spiral proboscis and feed on this bird dropping. And in these butterflies, it's only the females that feed on the dropping because they need extra nutrients to form more eggs. They get a lot of their nutrients when they're caterpillars and they grow up from caterpillar to pupa to butterfly. But this butterfly can lay more eggs than other butterflies because it can continue to get more and more nutrients by feeding on these droppings left by the birds that follow the army ants.
Wow. So basically it's an army, but it's just the ants, and then it sounds almost like it's a whole ecosystem or life cycle or whatever of all these different animals that follow. It's like a parade, right?
Exactly.
Like, you know, there's all these people that follow a parade. That is really cool. Now, I know you are also a photographer, so do you get some really amazing pictures of all of these animals and of the army ants?
Of course. That's why I go there and try to get pictures to tell the whole story of the ants and all the things that are with them. So I have to lie down on my lie down on the ground sometimes. And hopefully I do that mostly when the ants are in a column. So when they're feeding, there's this huge mass, but behind them are these streams of ants that consolidate into one long column. And if you lie down next to the column and very careful so you don't breathe on the ants too much and get them excited, you can watch them go by. And I was working with an assistant, so he could tell me when the ants with the prey, with the booty, as they call it, come by. And I snap a picture. And I noticed after I looked at my pictures that many of these things that they were bringing back, centipedes and cockroaches and beetles, and they had little tiny feather-winged beetles on them. And these beetles are waiting along the trail until the ants come by with prey, and then they hop on. And as they're hitchhiking a ride back to the swarm, back to the bivouac with the ants, they're busy eating the ants' dinner. So anyhow, by lying there on the ground, I was able to get pictures of this, and that'll be part of the story of the ants.
Wow. I'm really curious, how long of a column is it when they're moving from one place to another? 300,000 ants of half an inch and a couple of millimeters long. How long is that column?
Right. So by the end of the day, it stretches out to about 100 meters, which is about the length of a football field.
Holy cow. That's a long way.
And then typically at the end of the day, they find a new place to build have a new bivouac. To cluster inside of a hollow log.
That's got
to
be a big tree that they find, right? I mean, do they all climb on top of each other?
Yeah, they form a net, a cluster, that's about the size of a soccer ball, except it's a shape-shifting thing that can be any shape.
Yeah.
And when you get lucky, if you follow the ants and you find the bivouac, sometimes it'll be out where you can see it. Sometimes it'll be hidden where you can't. So if it's out in the open, you can get a picture of this whole mass of ants. Wow. But it's hard. You can't really see what's going on inside, where the queen is and all of the eggs and pupae and the like.
So you're also a children's author. Have you written any books about army ants or some of the butterflies or anything that follow them?
Well, I've got a manuscript. I've got a book that I've written that hasn't been published yet about army ants. And I just finished the research in last March in Costa Rica. So I'm hoping that I'll find a publisher who will publish that book. The other books I've written have been about, my first book included a little bit about army ants. It was called Bizarre Bugs. And it included many other bizarre bugs other than army ants, but they were in one of the chapters.
That's cool. Well, and you have a book about frogs too, right?
Well, my most recent book is about toads.
Sorry.
The Hidden Life of a Toad.
Yes.
And it follows the life cycle of a toad. I did most of the photography right here in Philadelphia. This particular toad, the American toad, can do pretty well in cities as long as there's some nice streams and water. So I followed the whole life cycle. And one of the cool things I was able to show was how the hand develops underneath the skin and inside the toad. And then later it'll pop out in
that's
a fully
cool.
developed hand.
So you must have a lot of patience to sit there. I don't know, Jed, do you think you could sit still while that whole column of army ants marches by you?
I can sit still for about 15 seconds. So if they move that quick, I'm good. But otherwise, I don't know.
So you need to watch the fast version of this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Doug, one of the things we love to do here on the show is to challenge our kids. We want Solve for Kids to be totally interactive. Do you have a challenge that kids can participate in?
Well, yeah, I have a good idea. Why not go out into your neighborhood? You could go to a park. You could go to your backyard. You could go to an abandoned lot and see, pretend you're an army ant and see how many different kinds of insects you can find. You don't have to eat them like the army ants do, but see how many different kinds of insects you can find, or insects or other bugs like spiders and the like. And if you can, make a little sketch of each of the different insects or a photograph and see how many of those you can identify. So you can pretend that you're an army ant looking for prey and see what's on your menu in the local park or backyard.
So. Oh, that sounds like fun. So we would love it if you guys would go out and do this challenge. Take a photograph or draw your picture, and then with your parents' permission, tag us on our social media, which is @KidsSolve, because I know we would love to see these. And even Doug, well, maybe he'll take a look at them and be able to comment on things for you.
I would love to see them.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. We've had a great time learning about army ants. This has been fascinating, learning about how long they are and how big their colonies are and what they eat and all that other kind of stuff. Doug, thanks so much for being on the show.
Yes, we've really enjoyed having you. Thanks, Doug.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Wow, that was a pretty fascinating episode of the show.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know. Would you stand still and let the army ants walk over your shoes? I don't think I could do that.
I don't think so either. And I wouldn't even let Navy ants crawl over me or Air Force ants. None of those ants.
Exactly. But I do have to say it was so cool because I had no idea all of these other animals are around army ants.
That was really cool. It's like a universe of life lives around these colonies.
Right. And so all of you kids, don't forget to do the challenge. Go outside and observe all of the different kinds of insects and bugs and everything that you can see in your own backyard. If you draw a picture of it or take a picture of it, ask your parents and then be sure to tag us on @KidsSolve on Twitter or Instagram or email us through our website, solveitforkids.com.
And if you see a colony of 300,000 army ants crawling around Boston, please let me know right away because I want to get out of their way.
Exactly. So kids, be sure to check out our website for all the cool stuff and to see some really awesome pictures of army ants.
And be sure to join us next time for the next episode of
Solve It for Kids.